I am Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is what I think.
Technically, my days off are Saturday, Sundays, but I had to work last Saturday, and here's the other just craziness of my a day that I can have, which is got up, did the soccer game. I know, isn't that great? No, it's not. That's not the crazy part. And then I had a last-minute nutrition class at Book, so on Saturday, I went down to the inn. I love teaching. What am I going to do? No, I don't want to teach you about cool stuff. No, I'm not going to. No. And then immediately followed up by officiating a wedding. That was my day. Soccer games. I went shopping. I shopped for groceries, and then officiated, and then taught, and then officiated a wedding. Just went down there with my suit, finished the class, ran upstairs, changed in the suit, came back downstairs, bride and groom waiting for me. Boom. Got that done. Sunday rolls around, and I'm like, well, there's some things I should do. I was kind of wallowing in the shoulds. Ah, I should do the podcast. I should do my video, and what I did do was stay in bed most of the day. It was a little shocking. My kids had friends over. They were running around outside. And there I am, just laying in bed, reading a book on the placebo effect. More on that at another podcast, because I'm not done with the damn book. I'm not a speed reader. A very interesting book, though. I don't want to say it's depressing. It's at the same time incredible how our brains work and how our bodies work. But at the same time, it could be kind of a little depressing when you think about the pharmaceutical picture and how many drugs that we're taking are actually outperformed by placebo. That's not a joke. And even the ones that barely perform better, it's barely. And so it's kind of, and then it throws into question things like acupuncture and homeopathy and all. It's I'm not done yet. I'm not even weighing in. I'm just saying that's what the book does. No angry emails from you, sir. I know what you're. Yep, put your fingers down. Put your fingers down. The most productive thing I did on Sunday, by the way, was I forced my daughter to watch Good Will Hunting. She was a little skeptical. She wanted to know if it had a happy ending. I said yes. Technically, it does. Didn't lie there. But it's not a comedy. It's fantastic. And then we had a little chat afterwards. Lesson being learned. I said, what is the? And I'm not like a. It's kind of. I'm recounting this story, and I'm making myself feel like I'm a nerd dad. Let's have a discussion session about a movie. But I asked her one question was. Which was, why did he, Will Hunting, if you guys haven't seen the movie, just freaking go see it, okay? Just go see it. Good Will Hunting, it's great. Robin Williams, Matt Damon, fantastic. Okay. And Ben Affleck, that's the negative. No, he's fine, he's Batman. Why did Will give up the job at the end and go out west to be with Minnie Driver? And she sort of, you know, she had the answers correct, and I said, what do I tell you? What have your mom and I asked of you in terms of your life and education and all those kinds of things and your job? What job do I want you to do? I asked her straight up. What job would I prefer you to do? And she said, something that I'm passionate about and love. And I thought I was very happy that she answered that way, because that's the right answer. First of all, I mean, I would have grounded her had she not answered that way. But that was the answer. That was the answer I was hoping. I wanted to remember that. I went to college. When I declared my philosophy major, I had already been through political science, like a half a class. And I was like, that's not going to happen. And then I thought economics was practical. Are you kidding me? 8 a.m. classes? That's insane. Who would get up for an economics class at 8 a.m.? That's insane. Then I tried English. Again, the language barrier was a little rough for me. So I was like, I can't do this whole thing with verbs and pronouns. And I think that's what English majors do, but I didn't even get that far. I stumbled into a philosophy class, and it felt like I had come home. I sat in this just elective class, and I loved it. And I was passionate about it. And it kept me in school in the best, best way. And I remember having friends whose parents made them, usually dads, you know, major in business economics because it's practical, you know, and that kind of thing. And I just, even at that early age, just thought that's miserable. Like that's just, I never want to do that to my kids ever. I want them to go to school. Absolutely. But then find something that they love. Yeah, like that's just me. I'm not saying you should parent your kids that way. I wouldn't say that. I'm just saying you should parent your kids that way. That's all I'm saying. Okay, you can take that how you want. But that was Sunday. Lazy, drank way too much coffee. Did I say that already? I don't know. It's a blur. I mean, way too much coffee and just sat in bed and the whole thing. And it was fine. It's all good. I mean, it was great. Good day. I needed a full on. But today, got up. And it's like, this is the day that I sometimes, and did today, didn't eat till dinner. Did not eat till dinner. Man, no problem there. I think about food a couple times during the day, but mostly don't. And I just did a video that I'm going to cut tonight on this very subject, but I'll speak to it here a little bit because it's interesting to me. The first couple times I didn't eat till dinner, I would feel hungry and I thought, oh, okay, well, I'm hungry. But then all of a sudden now I don't. And I think a lot of that is what I call habit hunger. But I'm involved in this meal plan thing of Jake that I've mentioned before. There's no sell. Can't join it if you want, but you couldn't join it if you wanted to. That's what I meant to say. But people say, you know, they're eating a little healthier now. And so they're eating food that is less caloric in the space it takes up, put it that way. Okay. So they eat food and they're full, and then lo and behold, they're hungry and they go, I'm hungry like an hour later. And I always thought that was kind of a weird thing in a country like United States and most developed countries where you know where your food's gonna, you're not worried about I'm hungry and I don't know where my next meal is coming from. You know where your next meal is coming from. Like it's that's not the worry. Same thing with thirst. I'm a little thirsty. And it's just sort of this idea that nowadays that the slightest feeling of discomfort or hunger, we have this expectation. What? Yeah, that's what I said. Expectation. Subject of this podcast. You see how I did that? We have this expectation that our need must be filled immediately. We are entitled to never feel hungry at all. I think that does ourselves, we do ourselves a great disservice when we buy into that idea that we can't for a moment feel. I think what happens is we have a sense of entitlement that we should not feel discomfort at all. We have an expectation that it's going to be dealt with immediately and that we shouldn't have ever felt it in the first place. And what this does is prevents us from feeling and understanding what we're able to deal with, being okay with feeling a little discomfort. We never let ourselves understand how strong we actually are. You know, worst case scenario is you're feeling hungry and you're more present in that moment because you're feeling things in your body and you're less distracted. I mean, this is the problem. Facebook, for instance, is not as effective if people are not distracted by it when they're more in their bodies and feeling in the moment. They might actually behave in ways that wouldn't put them onto Facebook, and that would be horrible. Would that not be horrible? But it's just such a weird thing to be like, well, I was hungry. How you recommended something and I did it, and the result was that I felt hungry. My body was able to speak up and I heard it. That should never happen again. I want my money back. It's okay. It's all right to be hungry, you guys. You're going to be okay. You know what? You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay if you're a little thirsty. As long as you're not in the, you know, Moab desert when you're, and somebody shoot me an email, will you? I don't know if the Moab desert is a desert. It sounds like it should be. Moab desert, doesn't that make sense? That should be a desert. Somebody send me an email. Let me know if that's a desert. If you're there and you're hungry, you might want to worry a little bit because you don't know where you're going to, the Moab has no water. But if you're in the places that we live and you feel a little hungry or a little thirsty, you're going to survive. You're going to survive, you guys. You heard it here first, potentially. Big thanks to, I had another Patreoner come on board yesterday. Very pleased about that. Thank you very much for that and the reviews. Thanks. I don't want to be all new agey and this is going to sound, I've been thinking about gratitude. Isn't that, I know the word makes me feel like I want to kick my own ass. It's just weird that way. But kind of gratitude. And that's why I decided when I launched this new show that I was going to thank people, not ask. I don't want any favors. I just want to thank people when they do support me in whatever way they do. I want to say thank you. Thank you. I want to live in that place to be thankful. Isn't that weird? It's not weird. It's just been ruined by people who, you got live in a place of gratitude, man. They've just, it ruined things for me. They ruin the word. That's why I didn't want to be an English major. I didn't want to deal with words. It's tiring. Mm. And one last thing. I know I don't do it. I'm going to be in Southern California this weekend. Costa Mesa. Okay? Come see me. Notes are in the thing of the thing. Okay. Here's where I'm sitting in my life right now. And this is I've just been thinking about this a lot. I don't want to talk about today. Spoiler alert. I don't have the answer for what I'm about to talk about. I do not have the answer for about what I'm going to talk about. I don't have a definitive answer in terms of what I think would be great in the world. I have more on that in a second. Here's my question. Does it matter what a leader, somebody who we elect to represent us, does it matter what that leader does in his or her own personal lives if we agree with their policies and politics? If they fall in line with our values politically and governmentally, policy, legal, laws, the whole shebang, they do that really well and we go, yes, that's my ticket. That's my deal right there. Is it okay if their personal private lives are potentially a shamble, a little shady, whatever? And in a way we're seeing this because, again, let me tell you something. I'm not talking about one single politician. You might think I am, but I'm certainly not. This has been a history of politics. I mean, look at freaking Bill Clinton. High caliber gent, that guy was. High caliber. All I'm saying is there are many, many examples of politicians who potentially did policies and did work in the world to even improve the lives of people, but had personal ethics or lack thereof that we went, what the heck? Okay. So the question is this, does it matter? Does it matter? Do the people that represent us need to be people of high ethics and values? That's the question. What's interesting, and I'll talk about an actual leader right now for this sentence, but President Trump, I've seen evangelists interviewed about him, and they give him a pass. It's odd in my mind. On the surface, it's odd. I'm like, well, how would you give that guy? How can you support that guy? I mean, there's very questionable ethics happening with this guy. I mean, and that's an understatement to be sure. How can you give a pass? And at the same time, I kind of get it because they're like, that's not what we want leaders. Look, it'd be great if he did, but that's not the business. We hired him to do a job. He's doing the job. His job is not to be a moral leader. His job is to be a leader of a government. That's his job. He's doing that job. We agree with the job he's doing in that way. I get it, or at least I can say that I understand how one can justify this in their mind. I understand how an evangelist can say, we're okay with it. I potentially believe there's potentially some a conflict there internally, but that's me guessing. I don't know. Maybe they're totally at peace with their assessment of this, that they really do believe like it doesn't matter to us. He's not in our congregation. We're talking about this we're talking about ethics to our people, but this is not, he's that guy. I get that. My question about this and I don't want to say indecision because I kind of know where I fall on it in a way. But with that said, I think in this, is it changing because of the world we live in today where so much private is public now, more than ever before, because of the internet and because of the way media is and social media, so much of private is public. And we look at the history of politicians, it's just getting more and more transparent and public as days go on. Does that make a difference? Because we know more, is the effect of that we should expect more because we know more? Or is it still none of our business and we shouldn't be concerned with that? Is that not in the job description of a leader of a representative government like the United States to be a certain way personally? We only care that they are a certain way publicly. I'm sure that people who know listening to this know me and know where I stand on the subtler effects of being an example. For instance, is it just about where the Dow Jones closes? Because I know, you guys know, because if any of you visited my Patreon, I got a lot of dough. I'm rolling in the millions. I'm definitely paying attention to where the Dow Jones closes on a daily basis because that's my nut. And so I don't care what somebody does in their personal life, as long as that Dow Jones closes higher today than it did yesterday, I'm good. Or is it a bigger picture? And regardless of the Dow Jones, is there improvements to be had that are not quantifiable like the Dow Jones? That's the question. I mean, that is the question. I don't have the answer in terms of how I want society to feel about this. But at the same time, I will say this. While I don't have an answer, I have a desire. And I guess it's an answer for me. And my desire is that the people we elect to represent us represent the best parts of us. And if that's outside the scope of a job description, in a way, I say so be it. In this day and age, I think it does make a difference. I think that if we elected people and expected them to represent the best parts of us in addition to the policies that we hope they implement, if we saw them start to be the people, if they represent more than just these policies and actually represent the best parts of humanity, I think we would begin to move into a place of more happiness and less fear, more compassion, less hate, more peace, less violence, more strength, less anger. This episode is about expectation, and I'll wrap it around to where I began this episode with talking about my daughter. We have an expectation of education. I think that when you expect things of people, especially children, they will rise to that. If we expect them to fail, there's a better chance that they're going to fail because of that expectation, and the reverse is true. If we, in my house, we don't say like, do you think you're going to go to college? We don't say you're going to go to college. We don't do either of those things. It's an expectation that we don't even verbalize because we don't really talk about it. It's like, oh, after college, you might want to try, go traveling after college, but it's sort of after college. It's not if you go to college. It's like, yeah, that's just the expectation. Same things with, eating healthy and things like that, just in general. It's an expectation. This episode is about expectation, and here's why. If we choose to expect more, if we make this decision and say, you know what, we're going to now expect more from the people who represent us. We're going to not only expect them have a desire that they represent our political values and economic values, but we are going to choose we're going to choose to expect that they represent more of us values-wise, ethics-wise, morally. If we choose to expect more on that same note from our families, from our friends, from our community, I believe that as we shape our own expectations of the world and the leaders and everybody else surrounding us, as we quantify what we expect from these people and raise that bar personally, I think that this speaks more to our strength, our resolve, the expectations we deep down have of ourselves than it does to anyone outside of us.
I wish I could write a better song, one that would make you love me. One that would make you want to stay. I wish I could write a better song, one that would make you turn around. One that would make you put your bags down. A way that you would choose to be with no one else but me. in a way that I could be. They would let the past be what it will be. I wish I could write a better song, one that makes me strong enough to kneel down. One that makes you hear this longing sound. One that would make